Lecture 11. Common Judaism or a Plurality of Judaisms.
At this stage of our lectures, I think one thing is already obvious, and that is the diversity of expressions of Judaism that existed through the ages. In fact, one of the things that I often am opposed to or consider to be so inaccurate is when people say, what does Judaism say about? Or even, what do the rabbis say about? There is no one opinion at times. There might be very general tendencies within Judaism. But at times people can even talk about a plurality of Judaisms. Sometimes the differences are so radical. We alluded to that at the very end of our previous lecture. How far back does this diversity go? We can never know if it goes back to the Bible. The Bible tells us only what it chooses to reveal. We do know that by post-biblical times, there was already a tremendous diversity. In the Second Temple period, the phenomenon of sectarianism existed for hundreds of years. We knew about it all the time through literary sources that were in our possession. With the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have now been provided with first-hand knowledge of the diversity of opinions on what is Judaism, varying opinions that existed fully 2,000 years ago. And while some would like to imagine a normative Judaism surviving the successive onslaughts of alternative approaches throughout the ages, the fact is that a plurality of representations of Judaism has been a constant factor throughout its history. But no less true is the fact that until contemporary times, save for a few exceptions, which we will discuss, Judeo-Christianity or Karaism, but save for those exceptions, Judaism has succeeded in preventing the fragmentation that was to be the lot of other great faiths. One can only wonder whether the reason might be that concomitant with the element of faith, Judaism, nevertheless, as we noted in our very first lecture, also represented an ethnic community, which provided for a cohesiveness based on non-spiritual foundations as well. We will have to analyze that question. But this brings us to a brief discussion of the major groupings and denominations within Judaism today. And in the second part of this coming lecture, we will address that phenomena and the extent to which the current challenge to unity is different from those challenges of the past. I think it's correct to begin by saying that there is no formal body or organization that represents all of Judaism today. Nor is there any authoritative body or person whose decisions are binding on all the adherents to Judaism. Now, this may not quite be what the Bible had in mind. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, describes hypothetical problems that can't be solved locally, and the interested parties are required to go to the place that the Lord will have chosen, and there they will receive a decision from priests or from magistrates. And clearly that decision was to be kept. If a person disregarded the instructions coming from that center, he was to be executed. We don't know that this actually happened, but there's an idea here that there should be some central control over the Jewish people. The unifying factor in the First Temple period was a political one, the monarchy. But even that could not survive for long. And after the death of King Solomon, the monarchy itself was split into two competing kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The subsequent period of the Second Temple was characterized, as we just said, by a plurality of Jewish groups, each one interpreting their Judaism differently. Josephus talks about three groups, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, that we very often connect with the Dead Sea Scrolls. But we now possess the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they make it apparent that even these divisions had subgroups within them. We already knew, for instance, from Josephus, we now know this from the scrolls, some of these Essenic groups did marry, other groups did not marry, some had community property, communal, no private belongings, others did not. In other words, there were many, many groups.